about the timekeeper today? Thank you. Rules, I get...
Okay, 20 minutes?
Thank you. And then 3 minute shares afterwards.
Right.
All right. Let's begin with the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. For this workshop is Recovery Depends Upon OA Unity, Tradition 1. My name is Bobby, and I am a food addict from Massachusetts, Waltham, and I'm seated with Gary and York, and we are the co-leaders for this meeting. Each of us will have up to 3 minutes to speak, and then we'll open the room for shares up to 3 minutes. This session is being recorded. As I said, I'm Bobby, I'm a food addict, and I say it loud and proud. I never felt, it's really funny, when I go OA and I heard people calling compulsive overeaters, I didn't kind of feel that title, I didn't feel comfortable with that, but I immediately felt comfortable as a saying I'm a food addict, because how I am addicted to sugar and sour products and volume, and I am an addict, and I treat those things like he who's an addict does. I use those things to make myself, to avoid my feelings, or to make myself feel better, to reward myself, or whatever. So that just makes me very comfortable, how I have always identified myself, so I have a problem with that. All right, so today's tradition one. Our personal recovery depends upon OA unity. I'm going to be tapping my head because I always think my glasses are up there, even when they're not. My father, isn't that pretty sad? Instead of my, anyway, so our spiritual principle that goes along with this is unity. So I was reading through this tradition one a little bit, and a lot of it is kind of like, so my personal recovery, OA unity. Personal means me, my own personal thing. Unity means all of us together. And so I got to thinking about that, and it's true. Because if we didn't have unity, then there was not OA unity, there'd be no groups. And I'd still be in the same damn place I was before I came here, of trying to handle my addiction, my inability to stop eating sweet stuff. Could have given a rat's behind about regular food, but if it was sweet and it was made of sugar and flour, I was going to consume it. And you better not get in my way, because that's the way it was. I would continue to be that way. And because of that addiction, I'd also be still raging all the time. And I would still, probably would have gotten fired from places, and I certainly would not be doing what I'm doing today for why wouldn't. So I got to thinking about that, and it talks about that personal recovery is dependent on OA unity. And OA unity doesn't mean that we have to all agree. And it talks about in the book here, real quick, it does. It talks about how a lot of us, and this is going to be a big surprise to all of you, I'm sure, that we're control freaks. We like to have our own way. And that we're selfish. I mean, I'll speak for me. All right, maybe I'll say me. I'm selfish. I want to have my way. And I am, as they put in the big book, I am the person that's the director. If you only did things the way I want you to do them, we'd be all set, you know, and I don't understand why you're not doing it the way I want you to do it, because I'm being nice to you, you know, well, maybe with an edge, but, you know, so that's the truth. And it's hard. We have a very diverse group of people, personalities, and, you know, people from large families. I mean, I came from a small family, so I didn't have this problem, but I have witnessed my friends who came from very large families. There's always strife, or there's always something going on. Or if you work in a company with a big group of people, there's always one pain in the fanny or somebody who's making it difficult. Sometimes I'm the person that's making it difficult. But, you know, we have a diverse group of people that like to be in control, and we all want to be heard. And some of us want to be heard because we were never heard before. So now let's find our voice. So like anything, we have to put bigger ahead of us. So it can't be just the way Bobby wants everything all the time. That's the group. If I'm in a group of a bunch of people, it can't be just the way I want to do it. I really need to have the group agree. And we use that. We use the word of group conscience when we talk about that. And I don't have to agree with it. And let me tell you, I have been in many, many, many meetings, many meetings. Small group said it's hard enough. I go to the next intergroup. My first time at intergroup, years and years and years ago, Mass Bay intergroup, and I didn't stay too long because when I got there, the that was the vice chair and chair at the time were having this big argument, and they're arguing and getting nasty. And I thought to myself, I was kind of new, so I still couldn't like shout, tradition one. You know, I couldn't do that. And I'm horrified. And I remember going home and calling my sponsor and saying, I can't sit here and listen to these people insult each other. I thought we were supposed to be a group of people that worked together and cared about each other and that kind of thing, you know, very naive. She's like, well then don't go if it's going to cause, because I was afraid it was going to go out and eat. That's really what I was getting so agitated that I was afraid I'd get up and tell them to shut the, you know what, or pick up my toys and go home. Thank you. And, you know, so that was my first lesson. They did not go by group conscience. They did not go by my tradition one. Maybe they thought they were. Not my tradition. Not OA, I'm sorry. OA. Over this one. And then that was okay. Then I started going back and I noticed it would work in, in the small groups. Sometimes I'd be thinking, you know, these business meetings, these people. Another meeting I'd go to, I used to go to, dear Lord, the business meetings were like, ugh, the same thing over and over again. I'd be getting annoyed again. You see why I had to do a lot of step work, you know. And then after a while, I'd be like, why don't these people just like, just because you can talk doesn't mean you ought to talk. Shut blank up, you know. So anyways, and it's finally, you know what? People would say, let's try it. And if we don't like it, we have another business meeting in another month or 3 months, and we can change again. Oh, so then I started getting less annoyed by those kind of things, you know. And then I went to the next level, region level, and you'd think, oh, the region level, these people are going to have it together. There's not going to be a lot of nonsense. This will be great. Things are going to be joyous. Oh, boy. Well, no, because we bring ourselves there again, too, right? It's like the old, let's change our seat, the Titanic. Well, you know, these people are just bringing themselves to, and some people, again, you know, you go there, and there's always, again, got to be one person who has to challenge everybody, you know, and has to have the same saying, even though five people before you already said the same thing. But why don't you say it, too? You know, and again, as you can see, these get on my nerves, but I now find the humor in them. I don't anymore sit there and tell the person, like, let me put my foot out as I walk up to the thing. No, I don't do any of those things now. I say to myself, it's all right. Again, I'm back with this consciousness of the group, and people vote, and it's wonderful. And you know what? People should be able to have the output they want. Again, it's just me. As I said, I've been doing a lot of work in my big book step study spot as a step study to not be so agitated. So this last time when I was at six and people did the same thing that happens every year, every time, I was able to be kind of, and it actually was much easier this time, you know. But it's just, these things happen all the time, and you know, thank God we have our group. And I have to think that we have to stop to think, when I want to start to have my way, you know, my way or the highway, then I say to myself, that's not helpful. In the spirit of overeating, this is traditions or even my step work. You know, I'm really trying to get better. And the only way I'm going to get better is if all my fellows are here. You know, I found in the beginning when we did COVID and we had to go on the phone, I really struggled with that because I wasn't getting that, being in a big group of people and feeling that energy and also the love or whatever the words you want to use, that the God presence. You know, I felt that was missing. And then we did Zoom. I could feel a little bit better there because now I could see people's faces. You know, but nothing beats being in a big room of people in person. Nothing beats going to my Sunday morning in-person meeting. Everybody, you know, reminded me of some other in-person meetings now, so I'm going to try to get my fanny there, too. Because truthfully, and I know I'm running out of time, and I want to hear other people talk about this tradition, My personal recovery really does depend on OA unity, you know. And it doesn't matter if I start to get annoyed at some place, you know, about something, and I don't, none of that really matters. What really matters is I don't eat one day at a time, and these people that are in all these places that start to annoy me, they're not eating one day at a time. Personalities really don't matter. You know, I really, and I need to remind myself that, you know, it doesn't matter. What matters is that I can't do this alone. I need the group, and I'm going to let the group make up their minds what they should do. And I'm going to stop because I like to hear other people. I want to hear Gary, and thank you for letting me share. Ooh, that's a miracle. Close to me.
My name is Gary. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater from New York. This December, I'll have 23 years of recovery and 22 years of being a 100-pound winner for 99% of the time. So I am extremely grateful, and I'm particularly honored today to be talking about this tradition. And the reason for that is, I like the traditions. I'm one of those weird guys. You know, in OA, we like the tradition. I go to a tradition meeting every month for many years, and I found them extremely helpful. And one of the ways that they're really been helpful to me is in my personal life, especially my family life. They can also be used in your business life. But I'm really honored for this one because I'm going to read from the AA Tradition 1. The unity of Alcoholics Anonymous is the most cherished quality he has. Our lives, the lives of all to come, depend squarely upon it. Our OA literature says the same thing about unity. Our lives depend upon it. It's got to be really, really important because I came into this program with the gift of desperation. I was really, at the age of 50, I was near death. I was told later on by my cardiologist that I had an 80% chance of dying years, and that was 20 years ago, and I'm still here years later. So I'm very grateful. And that OA would disappear from life is not acceptable. It's just not. I shared, if I'm going to retire, I've already started to investigate where the OA meetings are. You know, I've helped start OA meetings. I tried to get there and do there. Something about this tradition, so significant. It says, our common welfare should come first. Different than what my life was like before recovery, when the thing that came first was my desires, what I wanted. That was food. That was isolation, expressing my anger, my depression, affecting the people around me in negative ways. Now, I can't do that anymore because it says the common welfare should come first. Not Gary's desires. Example. Before I got into recovery, when I was really very, very heavy, I was desperate, and I turned to my wife. We had a child at that time, and I had done a little research, and I found a spot to go to, and I said, I'm leaving for 10 days. Goodbye. Discussion. No group conscience. It was Gary's desire. So Gary went off and left my wife and child at home, and I went. And I lost 10 or 15 pounds in that 10 days, and I came back and, of course, put it back on. And the next year after that, I joined OA. I no longer do that process, doing what I want to do whenever I want to do it, to the exclusion of my wife and our children. I've never gone on a vacation alone again since then. Common welfare of the family started to become more important to me than my own desires. It's been a major change. Very happy about that. And the kids were happy because we went on vacations that made good memories for them. Would have not been possible without OA. First of all, I couldn't go on the kind of vacations they wanted to go on to, which were action-adventure vacations. I couldn't move. I was 330 pounds with a 50-inch waist, and I couldn't walk a block. So it really changed my life, and this tradition that says that the common welfare has to come first, really important. So one of the things that Bill W. did, he was a brilliant writer, and he used words like welfare. What does it really mean? What does the common welfare mean? So if you look it up and you dig into what it meant to Bill W., it meant health, comfort, well-being, the safety. So if you think about our rooms, thank you. If you think about our rooms, welfare in our rooms, I can remember in my 23 years where when I was in the rooms, I did not feel safe. Very, very unhappy. Cried after one meeting from the patient that was going on there. And was three times wondered whether OA was right for me, whether I should continue to come back. And I discussed these issues with some older people in the program, people who had experience, that there were a lot of control freaks. There are good control freaks, and then there are the bad control freaks. To a meeting, it can be very upsetting. And this tradition is what against that. You have to remember that AA was founded in 35 by two guys. Traditions didn't come into play until 10, 11 years later in 45 and 46, when they were called the 12 points. And they were a little bit different than today. I'm going to just read you what was then called the long form of Tradition 1. And it's really quite helpful. Each member of Alcoholics Anonymous is but a small part of a great whole. And that also helps me in my relationship to my higher power. I have to recognize that my higher power is a lot bigger than I am, and I'm just this speck of dust here on this earth's lifetime. Then he says, AA must continue to live, or most of us will surely die. I love the death threats that are in the big book, too, in our literature. Yeah, I just do. You know, they motivate me. You know, I'm that kind of guy, you know, give me a death threat and maybe I'll change. You know, the last two sentences. Here, our common welfare comes first, but welfare follows close afterwards. We cherish the individuals, and tradition helps make that possible. That's the paradox. Who's the most important person in the room when you go into a meeting? The newcomer. Other organization has that. Sports team. Once a political, nobody cares about the newcomer. We do. They're the most important person in the room. That's why this tradition is so important. Newcomer comes in and hears dissension. Good. If they hear that there's a rule that you talk for 3 minutes and somebody says, oh, I got to say more. And they talk for six, not good. This tradition says there are rules that must be respected for the common welfare, not what I want. Not what I think is. I have seen newcomers walk out of a meeting when voices were raised to argue and crosstalk. They just got up and left. Tradition teaches us to put the common welfare first. Why? Why do we want to put the common welfare first? Because of this magic word. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Unity. Need unity. Not uniformity. Not everybody thinking and doing the same thing. As somebody said before, you know, you have 1,000 people in OA, you could have 1,000 different food plans. No, necessarily uniformity. But we do have the steps and traditions to follow. It gives us the rules and the discipline that we need to follow. So, in this tradition, it becomes very clear that the well-being of the group becomes more important than the desires of the individual. So constantly in our meetings, it's really important to think about what you are walking into this for the first time about this meeting. You want to come back. The newcomer is the most important person in the room. That's the eyes that we should be looking through when we are in our meeting. They see the common welfare. So this idea of unity is critical throughout the steps and the traditions. Of course, when we have unity of ourselves, that's called integrity, principle of the fifth step, integrity, unity with our own values. And then we have unity in the group. It's a commitment. It's a commitment to the greater good. Both of those require surrender. And here's where I like, we sometimes, fun thing, we try to find a step that goes with a tradition. And in this case, step one and tradition one have a lot in common. One, we have to surrender. Powerless over food. efficient one, we have to surrender to the welfare of the group. We have to surrender our own desires to be boss, to control, walk that extra 5 minutes, push an agenda. Have to let our egos die a little bit. Our egos die a little bit. So the first step have a lot in common. Both of them are going to be the deciding points whether we live or die. If we don't admit that we're powerless over food, we're going to die. If we don't put the common welfare first and unity, we're going to die. So they're both death steps. And again, I'm the kind of guy, I like those death steps. I like the death steps. They motivate me. You know, it took me to the point when I was 50 years old at 330 pounds with malignant hypertension. My medical chart was that big. I had so many different diseases to be near death to accept it. I tried it when I was 38. My therapist said, you got to go to OA. So I went to one meeting. And guess what? A little bit of raucousness at this meeting. Nice, warm, cozy, you know, come and hug me. You know, we talk about how we have huggers at meetings. This meeting didn't have huggers. This had talked about disease and power, and I didn't have it. I had, you know, depression and anxiety, and I was obese, and I needed a diet and some exercise. And then they talked about higher power, and I was an agnostic. I didn't want a higher power. So I left that meeting, and I went to my therapist, and I said, these people are not my kind of people. He shook his head. He went like this. He said, you're just not ready. 12 years of experimentation at ready to be able to accept these principles and these traditions. Really a gift of desperation. The surrender to this tradition is really not easy. It's a surrender of the ego. It's a surrender just like in step one, that says, my voice is not more important than anybody else's voice. Your voice and your voice and your voice, they're all equal. The newcomer's voice is as equal as the guy with 35 years. They all have the voice. They all have a vote. They're all equal. What a concept. Where else in my world is that really there? Oh, it said, and this is really interesting, it says that the principles of the steps have been of history. Different religions, different spiritual practices. There were groups in the 80s, the Washingtonians, there was the Oxford group. A lot of these principles were already out there. But when Bill W. got inspired to traditions, he broke ground. This was new ground. How an organization should be put together, these concepts in the traditions were all new ground. Amazing. And it's why it's so hard for so many of us to really get into them. They're really different. Meeting the principles of the steps or the principles of the traditions, they're really mind-boggling. They're challenging. They're mind-boggling. Can you imagine you're sitting there and you know the right answer to a food plan? And if you start, you know, bringing it up, you're going to create havoc, but you know the answer. You know it. And you want to share it. You have all this experience. And you want to tell everybody, go on this diet. It really, really works. No. You got to stand, shut your mouth, zip your lip, and put group ahead of you, welfare ahead of you. Not easy to do because you know the right answer. I knew the right answer, and I was 330 pounds. This program has, especially Tradition 1, helped with deflation that is necessary to work the program so that we can have good meetings, good business meetings, remembering that the newcomer is the most important person in the room. Our words should be that newcomer. That's where the common welfare will come in. The unity will come in. Thank you so much. So this workshop will end at 3:15, or is it 3:30? The rest of the time we'll have 3-minute pitches from the floor. Our timer will signal you when you have 1 minute left. If you'd like to share, please come to the front of the room. We remind you that the session is being recorded and your sharing demonstrates your consent to be recorded. If you wish to remain anonymous, please use the fictitious not to share. Please say where you are from and how long you've been in OA, but devote your share to your OA experience, strength, and hope on the topic, which is Tradition 1. Thank you.
Hey, Bobby. Thank you, Gary. My name is Margaret, and I am a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater.
Hey, Margaret.
I used to eat compulsively. Came into Overeaters Anonymous in February of 1990 as 215 pounds of chain-smoking suicidal fun. And at that time, I came to the side door. I came from another 12-step program where there was only, you know, basically one way to do things, and there was only one thing that you really needed to modify in your behavior. Well, you know, ish. Anyway, whatever. Was not the case. I came in the Boston area, and I live in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I have predominantly attended meetings of Metro West Intergroup, which itself started in 1987 with a resentment and a coffee pot, as they used to say. Except I don't think they actually owned a coffee pot. But it's from the Mass Bay Intergroup, and there was some ish going on. And when I came in 1990, that ish was still very much active. There was a lot of tension between the intergroups. Much of it centered, of course, on food plans and the way meetings were run. So I had a really, really hard time reconciling, because I did go to meetings that were not, you know, that were outside my intergroup. I was exposed to different ways of working the program, and to me, that meant that I wasn't doing it right, and that other people were taking my, you know, whatever. It was really difficult. It was a great gift for me to have to stick around and in my area to allow this power that wants this fellowship to exist to work its way through us. I just want to tell this one quick story. It was the 1992 convention. It was in Danvers, Massachusetts, and it was put on by four intergroups. Thank you, 1 minute left. It was Mass Bay, Metro West, North Shore Intergroup, and New Hampshire, I think. And I was on the program committee, which was chaired by a woman from Mass Bay, and there were a lot of Mass Bay people on the committee. And we all worked together, and do you know that our food plans never once came up in our committee work?
Yeah.
I just had an amazing... One morning, I sat and ate my breakfast at a table of nothing but members from Mass Bay. Do you know that not one of them actually laughed at me or lectured me or anything like that? They just loved me as another OA member. That experience of working on that convention was transformative. And I just had to make peace with the fact that I had found a way of working this program that was working for me. I have, thank you God, not had to give back my abstinence since that time. I am so glad to still be at the Region 6 convention and to watch Overeaters Anonymous continue to practice this principle of unity. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Linda, I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Linda.
I guess I'm okay down here. Yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you both. And I just wanted to get up. My experience with the tradition is beginning when I came. I've been in OA since 1989. I've been abstinent since 1996. I'm now 58, so I have learned a lot from 12-step recovery. I don't think I really understood the traditions in the beginning. I understood the steps, but how, you know, they really are the glue. And when I would go to, at times, very into, you know, what I felt. After going for a while, I started to realize that, you know, this tradition really, like was said, it is important. But the, you know, for me, it does keep you right-sized. I'm very much... I think it's very important as around to know if something gets voted through, even though I have an opinion about it, it gets voted. And also like our behavior, as it was said, you know, it's really important that we act, and it's really important that we accept. It's really important that we don't talk about outside issues during the meeting. There's a lot of things that I hide by because I found who that 23-year-old young woman was that came into the rooms and was sort of looking to everyone we were, or I was supposed to. And the good news is that it really works. It really works. And there have been times when it hasn't. And I've seen that but you know, we're not perfect. And I think that people can learn from it. And, you know, some people can't. Some they have a hard time what to eat, telling people how to act, telling people, and those people I walk big circles around. All I have to go to, really, because program has taught me to be honest. They'll play nice in the sandbox. So, thank
Hello,
you.
My name is Nancy H. from Rhode Island, and I am a food addict and a compulsive eater.
Hi, Nancy.
And I'm really glad I came to this workshop. You know, I just have a lot of respect for the traditions. I'm not like a... My sponsor is like a tradition nerd, you know, she'll admit to that. I'm not, but I'm learning a lot, and I just want to read the full tradition. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. And I'm involved in the indie group now, and I think through the grace of God, because I don't binge you a day at a time. I'm like the chair of our indie group, which is just, like, blows my mind, but I feel like I'm just trusting God and do that service. But before, when I was involved in indie group, a couple of years ago, there was a controversy with one of our meetings. It was a big book step study meeting, and I have total respect for big book step study meetings. I've actually participated in them and worked the big book through them. But this one particular meeting would have AA speakers because there weren't really enough OA people who had been through the big book step study with the big book step study sponsor. So they were calling in AA sponsors, and it took a couple of years of talking, and I have to say the leadership at that time that spoke with, you know, the people in the business meeting here at that particular meeting really did a masterful job. They were calm and thoughtful, but we told them, feel we need to drop you from our intergroup. You're not following tradition one, because the newcomer comes into that meeting and hears somebody from AA, and this is all due respect from AA, you know, this is where we come from, this is where our roots are, thank you. But you know, I have to hand it to the people in our intergroup that did really a kind and recovery oriented communication with that meeting, and they were dropped, you know, from our list. I'm not sure what happened as far as we didn't kind of pursue it at the OA.org level, so I'm not quite sure what happened at that level, but, you know, I'm still friendly with a lot of those people in that meeting. I go to that meeting sometimes. But anyways, it was really tradition one in action, and, you know, my experience with really looking out for the newcomer and keeping our meetings welcoming to newcomers especially. And thanks for letting me share that.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mark. I'm a compulsive overeater and a food addict. Season long time. I've been in program for 40 years. I'm going to share a couple quick things. I had a sponsor in the early 90s. We were at a meeting, and it was a controversial business meeting one night, and it was my sponsor. I didn't stay there. So the next morning, I said, hey, Jim, I didn't see you at the business meeting. I heard you from Texas. Oh, I don't go to business meetings. I go, why is that? He goes, oh, I learned a long time ago. The last place I want to be is a room full of addicts trying to make a decision. So, experience over the years, the Thrive's traditions is the easy way, works. That's a tradition. Back then, it was the gray sheet meetings and the eating meetings. That was a lot of controversy in the Boston area. But one of the greatest gifts I found is if you go on the OA.org website and you work your way through it, there's a section called Basket Basket. The problem in your business meeting, I guarantee you'll find that the trustees have discussed that at World Service, and they'll give you the official answer. And I've had to use it a couple times. Again, it's talking about the traditions. But for myself, from my experience, it really comes down to principles, not personality. I think it's tradition three. Meetings are open to anyone with a desire to stop eating compulsively. Fortunately, we do encounter individuals who are still physically, emotionally, and spiritually sick that attend the meeting. Some charitable account. Tradition, very important. And that's out. Because as previously, it's that newcomers who we're making the pitch to. We don't want the wrong message going out there that could turn them away.
and stuff. And that even goes like changing language, even when we're reading something out of the big book. AA is us, OA. Don't change the words as it's written. So, and mostly what I've really come to learn, it's only taken me 40 years to do that, but when I talk to people that don't agree with me, because in the big book, the angry man prayer, you just pray for that person, get what they need at this time and at that moment and stuff, and pray that they get, you know, but more importantly, that I get.
I'm Felicia, compulsive reader. This meeting has been fun. Thank you so much. I have to be honest, it was not one I planned on going to, and I'm doing service for it, so I was like, well, I guess God will. And I learned a lot. I'm so grateful that I was here. What I have kind of learned with this is that my job is to show up, voice my opinion if I feel moved by spirit, and then see what the vote is. If I can stick to that, the rest of it, really. And if I end up with a resentment, then that's for me to look at a 10th step, not to think of the other person, but what's in me is being triggered that I need to look at. Doing this tradition in my family has made my marriage so much better. I our family and forget some of the things I learn here. So I approach like my husband, like, oh, bless him, he doesn't understand the right way is this. And this is giving us an opportunity to, like, I have my thoughts and he has his thoughts, and I can have space that he's allowed to share them. And if it's something important to him, let him. Recently, I decided we were going to sign up my daughter for cross country. It was insane. And I was able to hear him and be unified and not have this freak off of. And I learned that from trying to apply the truth. And I was amazed at the grace of just by being able to be willing to realize matter, even if they're different from mine, and then maybe that's God working in my life, and make what I'm sure is the wrong decision, that might be God working in my life too. Thank you.
I'm Ann, compulsive overeater. I've been in program and abstinence for about 20 years. My first home need used to exist because of interest. Now, there are at least three individuals who came to that meeting who were disliked by others, and they say, if that person is there, I won't come. One time, the person who was saying, if that person is there, I won't come, they were both my sponsees. But I couldn't say that to the other one. But, I was thinking, gee, you know, if you weigh 400 pounds, why is it so important person is there as opposed to whether you die of compulsive overeating? I didn't say that either.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm still sad because that's the meeting where I got abstinent. My first meeting there was an anniversary meeting. A wonderful speaker who I have seen at other regions of the convention. And I can remember thinking, well, gee, that she could do it. And, so I feel really sad that meeting is gone, but I am still here, and I just want to encourage people to not say that, you know. And one of those women who nobody liked and everybody was trying to avoid was the one who always showed up on time and opened the room and you know, pulled out the literature, you know, and everybody else was arriving late, you know, and it's like, well, if you don't like it when she leaves, why don't you show up on time? Anyway, so I'll pass.
I'm Cheryl, compulsive overeater from Weymouth, Mass. I came into OA when I was 18 years old, but I didn't stay. My OA birthday was 10 years ago in May. End of April, beginning of May. I'm not sure exactly when it was. So thing in my town, there is South Coastal Mass Intergroup and Mass Bay Intergroup, and was attending both these meetings. And my experience with the tradition, just like Gary had said, the traditions are just as equally important to me as the steps. I've done a lot of research because I like the steps and the tradition. So
When it was brought to my attention that one of my meetings wasn't attracting newcomers and were reading non-conference-approved literature, I really struggled. It was like I had to ask a lot of people what to do about it or how to handle it. So thank goodness we did have a group conscience and it changed the literature that they now read. It was sad because we weren't attracting newcomers, and that was such a special meeting to me. It was the very first meeting I had attended coming back to OA 10 years ago. So I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to see that meeting fold. And today it is thrive. It is still around. Unfortunately, it's a lot smaller, but that's what happens with our meetings. So I was glad that we were able to resolve it, and nobody got angry over it. Like, we just had a lot of group conscious decisions to make. Thank you.
Steve, or as I prefer to say, I'm Stevie, an OA man. Don't eat from a car, and surrender my will, weigh and measure my fill. Stevie and OA. I like the traditions, all of them. I want to make a pitch. I just want to emphasize the value, not just diversity the way we think outside of the rooms with value as well, but work your program. Have so many different types, searcher meeting or speaker meeting, 90-day meeting or a thing or that meeting. I wasn't around for the food plan wars. I'm here. I've been here 22 years off, about 120 pounds. And I wonder, having not experienced knowledge of what happened, whether or not we did everything we could, except a diversity, still keeping it under, I don't know. I've had the opposite at every level that they offer. And I've seen, in my experience, that they all, people walk away friends, never work, and then 5 years later you find. So, a lot of this, I think, comes from so important to all of us, time that we're socialized, hard to see a group conduct. If we're honest with ourselves, and we find, and we're willing, we may not like it, but if we're willing to support it and help make it work, well, most of the time it works. Sometimes we can change our minds. Thank you.
I am a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater. My name is Michelle, and I'm here from Rhode Island. I want to say thank you so much for delivery. It's really, you know, I find business meetings onerous as heck. And in my last workshop, which was oriented, I chose to write a list of fears. One of those fears is of being in a meeting where people are fighting. They're fighting either politely, like, and I remember my very first OA meeting where after I left the meeting and it was dark outside and somebody walked in on me and began peppering me questions. Do you have a sponsor? Do you have a food plan? And I was like, you know, I had a little bit of difficulty coming back. And there's a dear friend of mine who talks about, like, when mommy and daddy fight, then there's so conflict is problematic in my psyche. And half, like, you know, I know here lately it seems to be a thread that pops back up, a theme that is repeated. Dun, 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 dun. The idea that I come for recovery and that these four letters are on my forehead, S-I-C. I came here because I needed help. So in all my affairs, when I interact with people, I have to remember that I'm coming from a foundation that has some flaws. Thank you so much. They're an incredible way. I mean, they say, I remember hearing, my program is for me and God. The traditions are for me and ever-widening circles. And my home life has benefited a lot of pen and tongue. So thank you.
all the time we have. Well, we actually do have extra time, but now that's all the time we have for sharing. Thanks for attending the workshop. We'll close with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant serenity to accept the things I cannot change, to change the things I didn't know. I don't know if this is still on.